Well, if you would, open your Bibles with me to begin with to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, go down to verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. We're going to go to a few different places in the Scripture this morning. But today is the special day that has been set aside to recognize and honor our mothers. And rightly so. Rightly so. Our mothers of all people are worthy of such a day set aside to themselves to recognize them. And someone has defined motherhood in these terms, and I like this. There's a lot of truth in this. I've seen this lived out. They said this: you know you're a mom when your feet stick to the kitchen floor and you're too tired to care. You know you're a mom when your idea of a good day is just making it through the day without bodily fluids leaking on you. You know your mom when your baby's pacifier falls on the floor and you give it back to her after you have sucked the dirt off of it yourself because you're too busy to go rinse it off. You know your mom when you're so desperate for conversation that you share your gut with the cashier at the grocery store. You just unload. You know your mom when you go to the bathroom and every time you go there's mom. Mom, somebody's outside the door. And the list goes on and on. All those things are all too familiar to mothers. And we have seen those things played out in our lives and in our homes. And so no one deserves a day set aside like our mothers who have given so much to us, sacrificed so much to us. And so this morning, I want us to think about our divine obligation to our mothers. Our divine obligation to our mothers, our God-given responsibility to our mothers, how we are to regard them. That's what I want us to think about this morning. Let's just read this verse of Scripture. We'll go back into it in just a moment. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father, we once again just humble ourselves as we open your word. And what reverence ought to fill our heart just as we look at these words in our Bibles, God, to know this is the word of the living God. These are not just words on a page, but they're the words from your mouth. And they're eternal. They're unchanging. They're crucial. They're crucial in our lives as your people. They're crucial to any nation, to any people in any land. And God, I pray you would just weigh these things on our heart. Teach us this morning from your word. Teach us how we ought to regard our mothers, how we ought to care for them, our divine obligation given from you toward our mothers. God, help us to take that to heart and understand. And may these words as well just build up the mothers who are here today and hear these truths. And may you strengthen them, God. They need your grace. They need your power to endure in this day that we live in, to keep on keeping on for your name's sake, to be godly mothers and how we're in desperate need of godly mothers. And so, Father, just let Jesus be exalted in this time. May he be lifted up. May his truth be proclaimed. Enable me, Father, as you know my utter weakness. May you preach through me. And may your Spirit just drive these things down in our heart. May we take hold of them, Father. May we heed them and live them in our life. And God, even this morning, may you use these truths to draw those who are lost to saving faith in Jesus. He's the foundation that we need in our life to live as you've called us to live. And so, Father, just have your will and way in this time that we have together. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our divine obligation to our mothers. Three things I want us to see this morning as we think about our divine obligation to our mothers, our God-given responsibility to our mothers. And the first thing we see here in Exodus 20, verse 12, is that we're to honor her. Honor her. Look at that again. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That is the command from God to us in relation to our mother. We are to honor her. Honor her. And this word honor means a heavy weight, literally. It's just speaking of a heavy weight. But it's not talking just about a physical weight, but it is talking here about the weight of influence. It's talking about the weight of power, the weight that comes with one's position. Sometimes we will say, so-and-so has a lot of weight in that company, which means they're in a position of power in that company. They have influence in that company. They have some pull in that company. They're in this position of influence, and that's what this is speaking of. Our mother has a lot of weight in our life. God has placed her into a position of much influence. I don't know that anyone has more influence in our lives, especially in those early years as we're being raised up, than our mothers. They are caring for our every need. It's okay. That's what being a mother is all about right there. Amen. That's what it's about. I'm glad that our mothers are here and we got that little one right here. Amen. That's just part of it. So that's what it's about. They're caring for our other need. They're teaching us, not just with their words, but they're teaching us with their very life. They're teaching us by way of example. They're feeding us. They clothe us. They take care of our every need. They're bandaging our wounds. A lot of moms will have done that. They lick that napkin or they spit on that paper towel and they wipe our face or whatever it may be. And they're caring for our needs throughout our life. That is our mothers. And there's no one like them. There's no one like our mothers. And they carry a lot of weight, a lot of influence in our life by the very fact that they're our mother. But not only are they in this position of influence in their role as our mother, but they have been placed in that position by God Himself. It is God who has ordained them to that position of influence. It is God who has placed them there as our mother. They are a gift from God to us. And we often talk about children being a gift from God, and they absolutely are. The Bible says the fruit of the womb is a reward. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They're a gift from God. Psalm 127 makes that clear. But just as God has given that mother that child as a gift, so God has given that child the gift of their mother. It is God who has placed that mother in that child's life. It is God from all the women on the face of the earth who has separated that one woman, that mother, and then knit that child together in her womb. And she carried that child, gave birth to that child, raised that child. God has placed her in that position and given her that role in that child's life. And therefore, she is to be honored. She's to be honored. We are to honor her. We see this same command is carried over to the New Testament. Over in Ephesians 6, you can turn over there with me if you want to. We're going to go to a few different places in the Scripture just thinking about how we are to regard our mothers, our obligation to them. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 1, Ephesians 6, verse 1, verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. This word honor in the Greek language means to value at a high price, to value with much worth and value. So we're to value our parents. We're to value our mother and our father. She is to be valued. So she is to be seen in our eyes as something very precious. We are to treasure our mother, treasure her. There's no one like her. There's no one who has cared for us like she has. There's no one who has sacrificed for us like she has. And so God commands us to honor her, value her because of that, respect her, treasure her. I want us to think for just a moment about what that means to honor her in a practical sense, and take this to heart. If you've got your mother still with you, let these things soak in deep. We're going to look at these in the next two points. Those points will expound this even more, but just a couple of three things here before we move on. What does it mean to honor her? This word honor speaks of giving her her worth. Giving her her worth. David said about God, 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. Why? Well, because God is worthy of everything. He's worthy of everything that we are, and we are to give God His worth. And that is the word here. When we're talking about honoring our mothers, we're talking about giving them their worth, giving them what they truly deserve, what they're worthy of. And if we're truly giving our mother her worth, then it will be revealed in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. Our thoughts toward her will be good. They will be loving. They will be kind. They will be gracious. When we call to memory our mother, when we see our mother, when we hear her name mentioned, it will resonate in our heart thoughts of goodness, thoughts of kindness, thoughts of love, thoughts of respect, thoughts of thanksgiving for who she is and what she has done. And so this bears out in our thoughts toward her. Then it also is manifest in our words toward her. If that's how we feel about her and that's how we're honoring her in our heart, then our words toward her will be good. They will be kind. When we speak to her, our words will be gracious. They will be loving. They will be appreciative. They will be respectful. They will be thankful. When we talk to others about her, our words will be kind and thankful and respectful. And then that also manifests in our deeds. Our actions toward her will be well-pleasing in God's sight. We will love our mother and we're going to take care of her. We will see that we meet her needs, that she is cared for. And our attitudes and our actions toward her are going to then come out on the outside in all that we do and how we take care of her. We haven't always done that for our mothers. Probably most of us haven't always lived that. I know I haven't always lived that toward my mother, especially in those early years, those younger years, those teenage years. Many of us try to pull away from that. Many of us rebel against God and His Word, rebel to some degree against our parents. And so I haven't always fulfilled this in my life. But I know this, after God saved me and He changed me, I remember reflecting back on how God had been with me all through my life and gave me parents that weren't perfect parents, but they loved Jesus. They loved His Word. They went to church. They raised me up in church at times in my life. And there were struggles and battles in some of those times as well. But for the most part, they raised me up in church. And when God saved me, reflecting on that life and those actions and that life portrayed before me in my parents and in my mother especially, of going to church and believing in Jesus and striving to live for Him, instilling that in me and those scriptures in me, I remember reflecting on that. And not long after God saved me, I sat down and I wrote a letter to my mother, just letting her know how God had saved me, how I wasn't the same, that God had got a hold of me, God had saved me, and how God had influenced me through her life, and just thanking her for her faithfulness to God, for loving me, for instilling God's Word in me and planting those seeds in me. And I wrote that letter. I got a Christian song that kind of spoke those same truths. I got a half a dozen roses, and I stopped at my mom's house, and I said, I want to give this to you. Just shared a few brief words, thanked her for loving me. I said, listen to this song, read this letter, and I left. And didn't think a whole lot about that until after my mom had passed and we were going through her things, and up on top of the cabinets in the kitchen were some metal tins. And as we were going through those tins, opened up one of those tins, and there were those dried roses. There was that tape of that song, and there was that letter that I wrote to my mom. She treasured it all those years. She tucked it away because she was so thankful for that. And so we need to have honor for our mothers, and we need to express that in our words and in our actions. There's no one like her. We're to honor her. And this command, it comes with the promise of God. It says that it may be well with you, and you may live long upon the earth. And so God promises two things to those who will honor their parents. First of all, that it may be well with you. And that's really twofold. On the one hand, it speaks to our relationship with our parents. If we honor them, it will go well with us in that relationship with them. All of us can remember times in our life growing up where we did not honor our parents. We didn't listen to our parents, and we reaped the consequences of that, and it did not go so well for us. Sure, all of us probably remember times in our life when we got a spanking from mom. Maybe there were some moms that waited for dad to get home and dad handled all that, but for some of us, our moms would just tear right into our rear end herself, right? She wouldn't shy away from that. And that's missing today. Not talking about child abuse, but we're talking about godly discipline. If you love your child, you won't spare the rod. When they rebel, there'll be discipline that meets that rebellion. And that's a godly thing. That needs to be there. That shows love. And all of us can remember times when we faced the wrath of mom or dad or both. Maybe both, one right after the other. Then mom and then dad got home and got some more, right? And we deserved it. And it corrected us. That's what helped harness that sinful nature in. And that's what helped lay a foundation for us to surrender to Christ and obey Him. And when we do not honor them or heed their counsel, then it doesn't go very well for us. Not just in discipline, but I tell you, you step out from under that umbrella of authority of your mom and dad and you say, I'm just going to do this my way. It leads to a path of regret. It leads to a path that blows up in our face. It doesn't go so well when you dishonor your mother, your father. But this is not just talking about it going well in relationship to our parents, but even more specifically, it's talking about it going well with us in relationship to God. You see, this command is the command of Almighty God. Honor your mother and your father. It's coming down from God, from His throne. And if we honor them, then God will see to it that it will be well with us. This command comes with the built-in promise of God, the blessing of God. You honor your parents and God will honor you. God will make your way prosperous. But if you do not honor them, then understand you do not honor God. You can't disobey your parents and dishonor your parents and think you're just dishonoring them and disobeying them. No, you're spitting in the face of God and you're dishonoring God and you're disobeying God Himself. And the discipline that came from our parents will be nothing compared to the discipline that can come from God. Because God holds our breath in His hands. God orchestrates our steps. God holds the future in His hands. And God's Word is very specific and very graphic about not honoring our mother or father. Let me just give you one verse, and there are many, but this ought to cause us to do a little bit of trembling. Take a couple steps back. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. That's what God has to say about dishonoring your mother or your father. Just, well, I don't care about them. They don't know. And just going out and doing it your own way. God's pretty serious about honoring your mother and father. This is very weighty in the commands of God, the law of God. This isn't small stuff. This is major stuff. And so we are to honor them. Honor your mother and father that it may be well with you. And that is speaking of a quality of life. It's really just talking about God's hand of blessing on your life. You honor your mother and father. You take heed to their counsel. You walk in the ways that they set for you. And God's hand of blessing will be upon your life. He will be watching over you. He will be rewarding you. His hand of blessing on you. But not only does this come with this promise that it will be well with you, but secondly, and you may live long upon the earth. Not just quality of life, but longevity of life. How many of you have ever heard your mom say, by golly, I brought you into this world and I can certainly take you out of it? Raise your hand. Okay, I figured it was more than just me. We've heard that, literally, from her mouth. And it don't go well for us. And we might not live very long if we dishonor our mother. But this is speaking again about our relationship with God. God says you honor her and I will bless your life. Longevity of life. Long life. Your days will be blessed. Your days will be long. And so God is promising blessing to those who will take heed to their divine obligation to their mother. He will bless you with a good life. He'll bless you with a long life. It is the path of the blessing of God. You obey God in regard to your mother and your father, and God's hand will be upon your life, and God will bless you. He'll bless our life. He'll bless our days. And so He commands us to honor our mother. Honor her. And honor her because of the position that God has placed her in. Honor her because this is the will of God for you. And value her for the treasure that she is. And so just step back this morning, no matter how old or how young you are, and ask yourself, boy, am I doing that? When I look at my mother, do I treasure her? Do I respect her? Do I reverence her for the position that God has placed her in? For the gift that she is from God to me? Do I love her with my words? Do I thank her with my words? Do I do that in my actions? Are my thoughts toward her thoughts of kindness and love and appreciation? Is that my actions toward her as well? There's a second command that we see here in the Scripture, not only to honor her, but secondly, we are to listen to her. Listen to her. Over in Proverbs chapter 1, just turn there with me if you will. Just go in your Bibles with me for a moment to these passages. There's just a few of them. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Listen to her. Proverbs 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. It speaks there, those ornaments. Just what are those necklaces that people wear? The ornaments that they wear, they're just decorations. You regard the counsel of your father and mother. You take that to heart. You live that in your life, and it will decorate your life. It'll be an ornament in your life. It'll reflect the path of blessing and God's will in your life. And that's what it will be. Do not forsake the law. The teachings is what it's talking about. The instruction of your mother. And so God is saying here, listen, don't forsake that, but take that to heart. Listen to her. Hear her words. Hear her wisdom. Hear her instruction. And keep those teachings. Keep those words in your life. Again, we read Ephesians 6:1 a while ago, and it says very plainly, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey them. This is God's will. And the word obey there is a compound word, one meaning to get under and the other meaning to listen. And so if you're truly obeying your mother, then you're going to get under her authority. You're going to get under those teachings, and you're going to listen and take that to heart and obey those things in your life. That is the command of God. Get under their authority and take heed to what they say. And so God commands us to obey our parents, not to forsake their teaching, not to forsake that counsel, but to listen to what they say. Listen to her. You know why? Because they have wisdom. They have wisdom because they have been there and they have done that. And if they know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and they have walked with God, they have been taught by God. They have wisdom from God Himself. I mean, they have been walking with God and seeking Him in prayer and in His Word in the good times and in the bad. God has led them up onto the mountaintops where life is good and the blessings are pouring out. And God has led them down into the valleys where life is blown up and there are difficult times and times of hardships. And they have walked through there and they have found that God is faithful and God has taught them wisdom. And so God says, you listen to her. You listen to her words. You know, when you're 5 or 6 or 7, you think that your mom and dad know everything. And they're literally like superheroes. I mean, there's nothing mom or dad can't do. They're amazing. And then long about 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, who knows how long, you begin to think mom and dad don't know much of anything. Why are they treating me like this? Why are they saying I can't do this? I can't do that? Why is all this going on? And you begin to resent some of that. Unless God keeps you near and dear where you ought to be. Many of us walk that path of resenting them and resenting their wisdom and trying to pull away from that. But then later on, because of God's mercy and grace, you come to know just how wise your mother and your father really, really are and were. They have wisdom. They have walked with God and God has taught them. And so God says, listen, you better take heed to their counsel. You need to listen to their words. Now, it is true that moms and dads don't know everything. And they're not always right. But I'll tell you what they do have. They've got your best interest at heart. There's no one who loves you more than your mother and father on the face of the earth other than God Himself. No one loves you more than your mother or father. We can't say that about too many people, that they've got our best interest at heart. We live in a world where people are just out for themselves. They'll use people, manipulate people to get whatever they can get. I can tell you this, that boyfriend will tell you whatever you want to hear to get what he wants to get. That car salesman, oftentimes, not knocking all car salesmen, but a lot of times they'll tell you whatever you want to hear to try to get that sale. People say all kinds of things to try to get what they want. But a mom or dad who is led by God always has their child's best interest at heart. And they might say some things to you that are very hard and maybe very harsh at times because you don't want to hear it and you want to go the other way. But they say what they say because they love you. And they love you more than anybody else loves you. And they want what's best for you. They want God's best for you. I know this much, the greatest burden of a mother's heart, a godly mother who knows Jesus, is for her children to be saved. You show me a woman who knows Christ, and the greatest burden on her heart is for the salvation of her children. That's the greatest burden. That is the pleading of her heart in prayer to God. She wants them to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And once they come to know Jesus, she wants them to truly love Him. To love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. She wants them to walk with Him. She wants them to know the will of God and walk in His path and walk in His plan. She gives them up as an offering unto God. And she wants nothing more than her children to be knowing Christ and walking with Christ and living for Christ and glorifying Christ in this world. That is the greatest burden on a mother's heart. And I can't tell you how many mothers I've talked to personally that when it comes to their children, that's the burden. Pray for my children. Pray that God will save them. Pray that they will come to know Christ. Pray that they will live for Christ. That's their constant prayer to God and their burden of their heart. There's no greater wisdom than a mother can give to her children than to lead them to the saving knowledge of Christ. It's the greatest thing that a mother could possibly do. Instill in them the Word of God, instill in them the reality of sin, the reality of our need for a Savior, the reality of Christ and who He is and what He's done on the cross, to speak into their heart the truth about repentance and saving faith and what that means, and tell them that they're a sinner in need of a Savior and that Christ has made the way. And to point them to Christ and lead them to Christ and be soaking all that instruction in prayer. There's no greater wisdom that a mother can give, and there's no greater counsel that a child could heed than to run to Jesus and be saved. Listen to the instruction of your mother. You need a Savior. And your life will be disastrous without Him. It'll take you down a path of destruction. You need Christ to save you. And we're to take heed to that counsel. And there's no greater counsel that we could heed. So I want to ask you this morning, are you heeding your mother's counsel? Are you taking her words to heart? You know, just looking back, how many times did we scorn that counsel? And I remember that stage in my life where I thought Mom and Dad didn't know much of nothing. And I knew better than they did, and I can go out and do my own thing, and you scorn that counsel and you go your own way. And how much pain and hardship and regret and remorse did that bring into our life? And so we need to heed her words. Proverbs 15 verse 20 says, a foolish man despises his mother. Take that to heart. If you're in that stage of life where you think of your mom and her words and she don't know much of anything, I know better than she does, God says you're a fool. It's the fool who despises her words, despises her instruction, despises their mother. God says, you better listen to your mother. You better take heed to her counsel and her words. And so we're to honor her, we're to listen to her. Thirdly, we are to care for her. One last passage of Scripture in the New Testament. Go with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Care for her. 1 Timothy 5, go down to verse 3. Notice these words, honor widows who are really widows. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. What we see here in this passage very clearly is the church is commanded by God to care for widows who are truly widows. And by that, it just means widows who have genuine need, rather it be a financial need, rather it just be a physical need, love, protection, whatever the need may be. If it is genuine need that she has, God is commanding the church to honor those widows. Honor those who are really widows. Give them their worth. Give them due reverence. Give them due respect. And true widows, widows who have genuine need, are to be cared for and supported by the church. That is our God-given responsibility. And I'm thankful that in my time here, I know we've tried to do that as the body of Christ, even widowers. When there's been a widow or a widower, family's gone, family's far away, maybe no family still living, we have tried to minister to those widows or widowers. Many of you have taken them to hospitals and doctor visits and all those things. That is the church's responsibility. But I want you to notice verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. And so the responsibility to care for that widow is first given to the family of that widow. So the church is to care for widows, but if the widow has family, if they have children, if they have grandchildren still living, then they are called upon by God to meet the needs of that widow. If you have a mother, you have a mom or a dad, or maybe it was even an aunt or an uncle who maybe raised you up, whoever it was who fulfilled that role of mother and father in your life, God is commanding us right here to repay them. Repay them. The family of that dear beloved mother, those children, or maybe even the grandchildren, they are responsible to care for their parents, care for your mother. And notice he says, let them first. And that's speaking of priority. You're a child, you're a grandchild, priority number one. First of all, show piety at home. The word piety means worship. What are you talking about? Show worship at home. Do reverence. You give due respect to your mother and father. You give them their worth. You give them what is due them. What they're worthy of. And so God has given us the responsibility to care for our parents. That's our divine obligation to our mother. Care for her. How? By repaying her. By repaying her. And to repay their parents. There's going to come a season, if it hasn't already, in the life of your mother or your father, but in the life of your mother where she's going to need your care. She's going to need you to step up and be there for her. And there'll be seasons of that in her life. Maybe she goes through a surgery and she's got a lot of appointments and she's down for a little while and she needs you to step up and just in that season of her life and be there and care for her and meet those needs. But then later on, it just comes to that season at the end of the life before God ushers her home into heaven when she's going to need your constant care. And God says, it's time to step up. And it's time to repay your parents. That's not for you to shove off on someone else. That's not for someone else to take care of. That is for you to step up and step in and fulfill that responsibility. You repay them. Repay them.
It's payback time. It's time to give them back just a little bit of what they gave to us all those years. And what a privilege that is. If you've ever walked through that time in your life, it's just a special time. To be able to draw near to your mother or your father and be with them and take them to those appointments or be with them there on that time of the end of life and that deathbed, and they're about to be ushered into the presence of God, and you've been there and you've been there and you've sacrificed and you've spent time with them and you've loved them and you've cared them. What a special time that is. And you'll never regret it. You'll be thankful that you had that time the rest of your life and throughout all eternity. And so that is our great privilege and that is our great responsibility before God, to repay them by caring for them in that time of need. In the end of verse 4, "For this is good and acceptable before God." And so there's no question, this is our divine responsibility, our divine obligation. This is what is good and acceptable in the sight of God Himself. God says, care for her. There's going to come a time in your mother's life when she's going to need you to step up and make sacrifices for her. And God says, you step up and repay her. You meet those needs. You be there for her. And you fulfill that role. And so that responsibility lays first and foremost into the life of those children, our grandchildren. If there are no grandchildren, no children, then the church steps up and the church is the family that fulfills that role. And so this is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. And it is so wonderfully modeled and exemplified in the life of Jesus Himself. I want you to see that, and we're going to close here in just a moment. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, John chapter 19, go down to verse 25. This is amazing. We step in as Jesus is hanging on the cross and bearing the sins of the world. John 19, verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And He said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." Isn't that amazing? That in the plan of redemption, in Jesus Himself hanging on the cross and being suspended there between holy God and wicked men and bearing the sin of the world and making the way of redemption for us, that God exemplifies the care of a son for his mother. Do you see that? I mean, there's Jesus and He sees His mother and what's on His heart, not just that He's dying for the sins of the world and making the way of redemption, but He's thinking about His mother and who's going to care for her. And He sees the beloved apostle, John. He says, "This is now your mother, this is now your son." From that very hour, that moment, John took Mary to his own home and he cared for her. He met her every need, sacrificed for her, made sure she was taken care of. This is our great example. That the care of Jesus' own mother was on His heart even as He hung on the cross bearing our sin. Shouldn't that be the concern of our heart? God is serious about us caring for our mother. Care for her. And so this is our divine obligation that God has entrusted to each of us toward our mother. Honor her. Honor her for the role that God has placed her in, for the gift and the treasure that she is from God to you. Honor her. Listen to her. You take heed to her words. Don't rebel against her words. Come under that authority. You listen to her wisdom. You listen to the truth that comes from her. And then care for her. One of the greatest privileges we have is to step up in that time of need and love our mother and care for her in that time and sacrifice or do whatever is necessary in that moment in her life. And so this is good, acceptable before God. Let's stand this morning as we get ready to pray. And as we get ready to pray, this is God's invitation. This is a time for us to respond to Him. And it's a time for us just to reflect on our mothers and truly just come to the altar and thank God for them. It's one thing that we need to do in this time of invitation. Just thank God for who our mother was and the gift that she was and the fact that she carried us in her womb, gave birth to us. She was the one woman out of all the other women on the face of the earth that God chose to fulfill that role in our life. And so we need to thank God for her. We need to heed her commands. We need to think about her instruction and make sure that we're walking in that wisdom. And we need to care for her. Most of all, we need to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. And that is the greatest wisdom that a godly mother would instill in the life of her child. And that is the foundation for all of this. We need a Savior. That's what's wrong with the world. It's broken. It's messed up. It's rejected God. It's rejected Christ. It's rejected His truth. It's stumbling into the depths of darkness more and more and more. People say, oh, we'll turn around. Well, we could a little bit, but not for long, because the Bible says we're going to get worse and worse. America will never be the same as it once was. And what's the issue is the reality of sin, rejection of God. And what the answer is a Savior. There's a Savior who came and died for us. And He has made the way. And He snatches sinners out of their sin and out of the muck and the mire. And He cleans them in His own blood. And He washes them pure. And He changes their nature on the inside, and He gives them a new heart and new desires to live for God and to honor Him. He makes them His own. That is our greatest need. And if you need to be saved this morning, I pray that you'll come and give your life to Jesus. I pray that you would heed that counsel from your mother. And also this morning, as we did earlier, we just need to pray for our families. Need to pray for the homes and the families in this church and scattered into this community and other churches and into this nation. What a day we live in when everything's flipped upside down so greatly that we don't even know how to define a woman, let alone a mother. And so what do we need to do? We need to pray. And we need to be asking God to fill us and revive us and to give us divine urgency. And we need to be sharing the gospel and shining the light of Scripture and speaking truth and living truth and pleading with a lost world to be saved. And so there's so much to pray for this morning. Father, as we come to You in this time of invitation, we need You. I pray that You would help us, Father, just to be overwhelmed with thanksgiving towards You and toward our mothers. Help us to come and thank You for them. God, help us to live these things out in our life, not just be something we reflect on for a few moments, but something that truly is manifested in our life, that we will live this out, that we will truly love and honor and respect and care for and take heed and counsel from our mothers. God, I pray for those who are lost that need to be saved, that Your Word, Your power, Your Spirit would convict them of their need, and God, move them to run to Jesus and be saved, to repent of sin, to call upon Him as Savior and Lord. God, Your will be done in this time that we have together this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 1.